Welcome to the Golf Legends Podcast, where we cover the champions and major winners of golf. Your hosts and main contributors are Dustin and Chad. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, everybody. It's Dustin at Golf Legends Podcast, and I'm with Chad. And
hey, everybody. How we doing?
Yeah.
How you doing today, Dustin?
I'm doing pretty good. I hit a couple of shots in the garage just because I need winter to be over with, of course, and or I got to figure out how to make more money to go to somewhere tropical.
Yeah.
That's
I was able to get out this last weekend. Ooh. It was a little soggy out, but it was sunny, so it was a good,
fun. Yeah, take any moment we can. So who are we covering today?
Today, we're going to be covering Patty Berg. One of the most influential female golfers.
There we go.
A lot of people haven't heard of her, but if she was a male, she would have the most impressive resume that we've went over of anybody.
Yes, so, I love. Just a little inside the curtain. Chad and I generally pick who we want to start covering. We both research separately, and then we kind of combine. And sometimes it's on the fly. And Chad sent this email to me saying Patty Berg, and I said, "Who exactly is this woman?" And let's just say I'm blown away, and we're hoping that you will be too. So let's get it.
Patty Berg, born Patricia Jane Berg, Minneapolis, Minnesota, born February 13th, 1918. So this is another turn of the 1900s pre-depression born golfer. Her father was a prosperous grain merchant in Minnesota. And he belonged to a local country club, and Patty Berg was an all-around athlete as a schoolgirl from day one.
So she starts, she's really starting with, I mean, you're in the Midwest, you're it's cold, you know, all that. These are all fun, I would say, mostly indoor things.
Yeah.
You know, she's competing in hockey. Obviously, that can be outdoor, too. Baseball, track, speed skating. I mean, she's...
And football.
Oh, seriously.
She played on the local like grade school, middle school, young teenager grade.
Do you have how big she is
football.
Here? She wasn't.
Yeah, she's tiny.
She's not a big woman. She's become a big woman, I should
5 foot 210-pound redhead.
She's playing football. I love it.
Actually playing on an all male team, and she started as a running back, and she eventually was the quarterback.
That's legit.
So she was an athlete. Yeah. And another thing that's a little bit different compared to a lot of the other people that we've covered, not that this had anything to do with her success as a golfer, but she was born in money.
We haven't covered. I mean, we've covered. I think there's been just a couple that had. I mean, that had some. Let's say financial backing, but Patty Berg has that.
So she got her start in golf at age 13, where her father secured her a golf membership at the country club that he was a member of, Interlochen Country Club, there in just outside of Minneapolis.
Which, I mean, at the time, right? So born in 1918, we're 24. We're like
1941 now.
At 13, that's what we're saying. So 19, like, that's not happening. I hate to say that, right? Like, we're not in the elitist, like the highest form, you know, poor people and such. And I know she came from money, can't play golf. There's not like, you know, they're all country clubs, but that's interesting. I mean, that's amazing, kind of in itself.
Her dad probably had some pull, I'm assuming. I couldn't really get too much information on it, but from just her pure athleticism, she's probably out there beating some of these guys, so they probably couldn't turn her away.
Very talented. You're right. Yeah, she's starting to pick up golf at 13. Or probably playing it a little bit before that, obviously.
Yeah.
But she's an athlete. I mean, she's a straight up athlete.
Yeah. She loved hitting balls with her dad. At age 13, he gets her involved in the country club, and then 2 years later, she gets involved in amateur golf in the Minneapolis City Championship.
Which, if anybody's played amateur golf, like legit amateur golf, for the PGA or the USGA, I should say, not the PGA, for the USGA, dude, amateur tournaments are legit. Like they're great. I mean, there's a reason that there's a U.S. Amateur Open, and like Tiger Woods won 3, Jack Nicklaus, like major golfers play these things, and they don't win money. I mean, you know, they got to sign that line to get sponsorship.
How you make a name for yourself. Yeah, like, and she did every bit of that.
That's awesome.
So she, the first year, 1933, was rocky. She didn't do very well. But what'd she do? She busted her ass and came back and won it the next year, 1934.
Which, you got to, you know, like, she's feeling good, right? She says, that was my proudest victory ever. And after that, I began to dream. Like, how do you not, right? You lost, you had a... It sounds like a really poor outing 1 year. You go back to just drop my notes. You go back to it the year after and you win it. And that's, I mean, you got to feel good. You got to feel good at that point.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, she's kind of playing the amateur circuit. 1935, the following year after she wins her first tournament, she comes back to the...
Her country club.
Yeah, her country club here. And she goes into the final where she's beaten by Glenna Colette Vare.
Yep.
Who is... that's like the Vare Trophy is something that's...
like the Varden Trophy,
I'm imagining? Yeah, very similar. Okay. But gotcha. For females. Yes. Yeah, for female golfers. It's an equivalent. Very big honor. So this lady was coming up in her own right and beat Berg.
But in the final. She still went. I mean, this is obviously Berg's course.
Yeah.
But she went to the final of this. Yes. I mean, this is she's legit. Like, yes. She's
went to the final and lost. The following year she went to the final again and lost in 1937.
Yep.
But in 1938 she won the championship.
So she wins the US Amateur Championship for women.
And that year, she won 10 of the 13 events that she entered.
All amateur events, right? She's not.
This is all amateur still. 1937, one stretch, she won 10 of 13 events.
Wow.
So now she's a junior in college, and Berg decided to start working for Wilson Sporting Goods Company, which is still around today. While completing her studies. And Wilson was giving her $5,000 a year.
I mean, sorry, that's not me laughing. I mean, it's laughing in our current, you know, inflation and what money means.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, yes. $5,000 a year is a huge amount of money. I actually just listened to a podcast where Henry Ford gave his employees $5 a day. You know, and it was
This kind of puts it in perspective here. So she relinquished her amateur status in 1940, and it was a difficult decision because she was making quite a bit of money on the amateur circuit doing exhibitions and things like that. Yeah. She was more in the spotlight because at this point, 1940, there were only a half dozen U.S. Open tournaments.
No, U.S. tournaments.
U.S. tournaments open to women.
Yeah,
sorry.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because women didn't golf. I mean,
It wasn't widespread for women at all.
And it wasn't, and we're in the 40s, right? No.
Yeah, 40.
Unfortunately, the war is going to happen soon. I mean, like, and women are, I mean, I'm not saying stereotypical, but they're raising the family. They're doing, like, the men are working. It was unbecoming for women to be active and to be
athletic and things like that. It just wasn't heard of.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't mean it by any other state, but it's not what you did. No. I mean, it's. Yeah.
So she's making $5,000 a year with Wilson Sporting Goods on her sponsorship contract. And of those half dozen U.S. tournaments open to women, the combined purse was $500. So that kind of puts in perspective of how much money there was for a professional female golfer to make. There really wasn't much out there.
Yeah, you're coming out of the Great Depression. I mean, you're a little bit after it, but you're coming out of it. You're about to, I mean, war has either started or just
it's just starting. Yeah. 1 year later, 1941, she wins the Women's Western Open, and she received a $100 war bond.
Oh, man.
That was what her rings were.
Just great. A war bond. Yeah. I mean, I love this. Yeah, so shortly after that winning of the Women's Western Open, she gets into a car accident, and she severely injures her left knee. And, I mean, you're talking that she's in prime golf. I mean, she really is. The leg has to be reset twice, but during the 18 months away from golf, Berg rehabilitated her leg and obviously her entire mindset successfully by working out in the camp of a boxer. So you're looking at, I think, who did we talk about? Who was the athlete? Who was the Sneed? I think it was.
Yeah.
You're looking at that same type of, it's not craziness, but what's it called? Tenacity. It's attitude. It's like, I can't, just because I'm injured doesn't mean I can't do anything.
Commitment to training.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. A commitment to training kind of all over, right? Like making sure that she's staying in shape, right? Like, I mean, who cares if she's hopping around in one leg, right? Or whatever it is. I mean, it took 18 months for her to come back to golf. I mean,
I don't know. I couldn't figure out exactly the details of the injury, but having a knee reset doesn't sound comfortable. They're either re-breaking something.
Because it's 1941. Yeah, it doesn't sound good at all. It sounds real bad.
That's really invasive, and she had to take 18 months away from golf.
Well, so she takes the 18 months away from golf, and then welcome to the war. After a two-year stint in the Marines... You're welcome into the Marines.
She was
in the 40s. Like, I mean,
a woman.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and she's 5'2". Let's remember how tall this woman is.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So she hurts her knee, gets it reset twice, trains in a boxing gym, then goes into the Marines.
You've got to be kidding me.
Graduated as a second lieutenant, and then Berg won her first Women's U.S. Open in 1946. So we're about three, four years later at this point.
Yes.
Defeating Betty Jamison.
5-4. So that's a match play score. Yeah. I mean, they're not playing
That's what I found. I had trouble finding scores and when they actually made the transition, but pretty much all these tournaments were match plays back.
Yeah, then. So if you do timeline wise, right, roughly, right? Okay, so 41, she gets into a car accident sometime in 41. 18 months is gone. It's basically 43 ish, right? She's in two more, like 44, 45. She gets out of there. Graduated a second lieutenant. Let's not forget that. Wasn't discharged, wasn't anything like that. Sorry, I don't know. I could be wrong. I love history. I don't know if women actually saw combat, but regardless, graduated from the Marines and then went back to golf in this 1946.
All of this is prior to her being 30 years of age. She's still pretty young. So
I mean, it's truly wow.
So in 1948, that's the year that the LPGA was established. She's 30 years old.
Yeah.
We may have mentioned Babe Zaharias in another episode.
Or we're about to. Either one. You're gonna say.
But there were Betty Jamison, Louise Suggs, Patty Berg, and Babe Didrikson-Zaharias were four, like the four big female golfers.
Yeah, women. Yep.
So Berg served as the president, the first president of the LPGA for 4 years, and she won three titles that first year.
So yeah, and then so that's 48. So she's the president from 48 to 52. She wins, like Chad just said, she won the three titles that year. And then in 1950s, basically in the in all of the 50s, if we're gonna start covering, she's coming into her own. I mean, truly, she demonstrates the potential of like of one of the best professional golfers ever, and she becomes that. She wins 9 of her 15 major championships from 48 to 62. 9 events there, right? I mean, that's multiple.
It's almost one a year.
Yeah, like 9 out of 14 imagine it's years. It's got to be real. Oh, man. I imagine some of those have got to be win in succession. She shoots a score of 64 in the Richmond Open, and she sets the women's professional record, which lasts, you know, for a dozen years. She shows that women at this point in the 50s, let's remember this, in the 50s, that they can not only be professional golfers, but they can make money doing it. She's still that... She's still that Wilson Sports, basically, or Wilson Company spokeswoman. And that's, I mean, that's awesome. Like, with her and these three other women, they're creating the sport of golf for women and building purses for it. Like,
yeah, tournaments that were actually...
Because people want to see it. I mean, that's they're seeing all these things.
Yes. Yeah, tournaments started popping up all over the place through the 50s that were actually... had purses that were, you know, reasonable for what these women were doing.
Yeah, not the wonderful $100 war bond. Like, yeah. Sorry, love that. I know. Yeah. I know it's a different time, but come on. Like,
yeah. She was the LPGA's leading money winner in 1954, 55, and 57. She won the Vare Trophy, which we mentioned Glenna Vare earlier. Which is for the lowest scoring average in 1953, 1955, 1956, and was 3 times voted Outstanding Woman Athlete of the Year by the Associated Press.
And I hate to say this, I had no idea who she was. I mean, not a clue when I saw Patty Berg. If you know of her, more power to you. Like, I feel like it's a disservice, and obviously this is why we're trying to cover her correctly. But it, man.
We could end this episode right now, and it would be a worthwhile episode.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We're halfway through.
So she is, we told you she's 5'2", she's red hair. She was known as a supreme shot maker. There's a couple other quotes here from like Mickey Wright, which if you look her up, I didn't know who she was either. She's right behind Patty Berg in the winning of tournaments. She's got 13 to Patty Berg's 15, but she's got 82 PGA or LPGA victories. And she says Patty Berg is the perfect golfer for a woman. Period. Like that's how great this is. I don't think Chad has this on here. It's not like she's playing men, right? That didn't become cute to do until, I mean, honestly, I'm betting like early 2000. I mean, Michelle Wee, this Annika Sorenstam, like where women were playing in men or wanted to play in men's tournaments, which like she's playing against other great women and winning. You know, she's she's a hell of a golfer here.
So she was the first woman to win $100,000 in career earnings. And 1963, the USGA honored her with the Bob Jones Award in recognition of her sportsmanship. So now we're jumping kind of a little bit ahead. From 1963, you know, she's still playing golf up until 1971, where she has a little bout with cancer. She battles cancer for the 1971 season, and returns to play professionally after her battle with cancer.
71, yeah.
Up until 1981. Man,
41 years of a professional career as a woman. Like, it sounds bad when I say it like that.
But it's just that's just because it's unheard of.
She's got a longer average, and she was in a car accident like that ruined her knee at one point.
Yeah,
and the war and such like that. But
Byron Nelson played for like 15 years. I mean, and Snead played for a really long time.
Yes,
but there were some times away from.
I don't think Sarazen played that long. Like,
no.
you're oh my goodness, yeah. So when she leaves professional golf in 1981, She continues to perform as the Golf Goodwill Ambassador. She's introduced more women to the sport than any other player, traveling to thousands of clinics to teach and put on exhibitions. It wasn't unusual at that time for Patty Burke to travel 60,000 miles a year for the game of golf. She was well known in Japan, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. Like, those are all, I mean, look, Japanese market is huge. Obviously, Europe is where it started. Australia and New Zealand have some of the best courses in the world you'll ever find. And she is the person that really put playing golf on the map for women. I mean, it can't be understated there.
Yeah.
She co-authored three books on the sport. I mean, we're going to get into a little bit more of her accolades, although we've kind of discussed some of them. But I think that's what's really important here, is that she is Jack Nicklaus. I mean, she is the goodwill carrier of the golf game, and that's important. I mean, that's incredibly important.
She's what made women's golf what it is today.
Yes, yes.
Her and along with a few other people, but she was probably the number one.
Yes,
you know, there she left her mark on golf, on women's golf, and just created more awareness for golf globally.
Yeah, I mean, man.
So she won over 60 professional golf tournaments between 1941 and 1962. And the reason we don't have an exact number there is because in the 40s, there's not a lot of documentation for some of those tournaments, because there were only a few professional women playing. So there's just not a lot of documentation.
Just so we know, real quick, that's like three a year. Okay, like obviously, like she had it spurs. You know, it's a 21-year history here, right? So you can't actually be like, it was 3 a year, but like the median is 3 a year. So 3 tournaments a year, Patty Burke was going to win. I mean, that's
and you're talking, insane. You know, they're playing a dozen a year or so.
Yeah, that's what I mean, so right?
She's like winning a quarter of the tournament. She's
that
playing.
Part is wow. She won 15 majors, which is still the most ever. For a woman, it is that, I mean, realize that they don't have 4 majors. Maybe they do now, and I feel bad I don't know this. But, like, they don't play the Masters. I mean, I'm almost positive they don't. There's not a Masters for them. There's an LPGA Open. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there's probably an Australian Open. But there's not a the Open. I mean, there's not one there, so.
Yeah.
That's because, I mean, we're talking about the LPGA here. I mean, that's started in the United States. That didn't start in Europe. That didn't start with the where the home of golf was.
No.
I mean, that's...
It was definitely a good old boy sport, especially in the United States.
That part is astounding. I mean, is truly astounding. And I know we're talking about a 40-year... a 40-year golf legacy.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand. Like that can't be said enough. So the LPGA honored her by establishing the Patty Burke Award in 1978, which is given to the female golfer who had the greatest contribution to women's golf during the year. So the advocate, you know, the one that put it more on the map.
Yeah, the Varden Trophy, whatever you want to call it. That's basically the MVP female golfer.
Yeah, trophy. Yeah. So she became the first lady of golf, and she was a trailblazer in American sports. I mean, we got to remember that she's an athlete overall, right? She is a great woman to take the sport of golf to truly groundbreaking heights, because women didn't play golf.
She thoroughly believed that women had to play as professionals if they were to improve their status in the sport. And that's why she was such an advocate for the game, and getting females into the sport. Because when she started playing, there was only a handful of female professionals. And when she retired, it was a full-blown sports spectacle like it is today.
Yeah.
Through the 80s and into the 90s.
Yeah, because she retired in 81. Yeah. I mean, she retired in the...
Then she was still traveling for a decade after that, just
putting on clinics. Yeah, because she passed away in 2006. I mean, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So she really got to see golf turn into much, from its infancy.
All the way to
what it is today.
I don't even know if you call it infancy. I mean, I think you almost call it like.
It was like hardly a professional.
It wasn't professional when she started playing, right? I mean, she couldn't.
It was professional in the sense that you got financial compensation, but it was such a minuscule amount. Yeah,
I mean.
She's got an installation at the Smithsonian.
That's awesome.
In Washington, D.C. as a champion of American sport.
Think about that really quick. And I know we only have a few, like I promise we're. She has so much to cover that it's hard to do it justice. But she starts the LPGA, and she's so influential in the game of golf for women that the Smithsonian gives her a title that is the champion of American sport. Like, we're talking about golf that originated in Europe. Right in the UK, and this woman breaks all the boundaries and gets to be the best woman golfer in history, and it's all for the United States. I mean, it really is, and that's not enough for her, because even then, she goes to other countries and other continents to promote the game of golf for women. I mean, that in itself is outstanding. I mean, I hate to say, I don't know how else to prove a point there, but it really, truly is groundbreaking isn't the good word. It's just not. It's so much more than that. It is so much more than that. And I hate to say, I hate to say, because golf is very much dominated in the media by the men, that it is somewhat sad. I didn't know who Patty Berg was, right? Like, yeah. And I love golfing. I mean, I probably have like 5 to 10 to 20 golf books, and they're all written by men, right? Like,
yeah.
And I mean, when I put together the list of our original ones, I didn't even see her name.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, like, and I typed in best golfers ever, right? Like,
and it's a lot of times, unfortunately, it's just assumed that we're referencing
men, right?
But she turned female, you know, women's golf into what it is. I've got a laundry list. I've got about a page here of just all sorts of awards and different trophies and things that were going away. So I'm not going to go through all of them, but you know, she got her sportsmanship, the Bob Jones Award for sportsmanship in 1963. I think we mentioned that already.
Mm-hmm.
The Joe Graffis Award in 1975, and that's awarded by the National Golf Foundation, and that's for golf education.
The GWAA gave her the Ben Hogan Award in 1975 for playing despite her impairments, because after her accident, she walked with a limp. Like,
yeah.
And yet she won all of those tournaments and all of those majors. Like, that's the part where, I mean, she's the first president of the LPGA.
Served her country, was a veteran.
It's... This woman is amazing. Yeah. I mean, this woman survives cancer. Is beyond. We've covered what, five male golfers, six male golfers, yeah, something like that, right? And they all have these great acolytes in and out of the sport. I don't know if we've covered a golfer who has this many. Sport altering changes in it, right? Like,
yeah,
like promoting it, winning in it, governing it, right? I mean, it's, yeah, you don't see this.
Bringing attention to it, bringing it to the forefront.
Among living life, right? Among living life, among being a Marine, among having tragedy, among being a sport, like general sports, right? Like, man.
So she was also given the Humanitarian Sports Award 1976 from the United Cerebral Palsy Foundation.
Wow.
1978, the LPGA established the Patty Berg Award in honor of its first president, and she was also named as one of golf's five most influential women in July of 1982, Golf Digest.
Man.
So Patty Berg.
That's Patty Berg.
Born Minneapolis, Minnesota, 1918, and she lived until September 10th, 2006. In Fort Myers, Florida, where she passed away.
My goodness. I mean, it's I don't actually have any good words. I honestly don't. I don't. I know we're going to end the episode. I feel complete, like, the blankness. I can't bring up anything.
It's shock and awe.
It really is. And I feel bad because I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't know her name.
I'm glad I came across it because I was like, we have to cover this.
Yeah, no. And that's, I mean, thank goodness. And in your research, we have other names that I looked up because we didn't know who Mickey Wright was. And lo and behold, she's just as good a golfer.
The neighbor to her.
And it's great. So we're gonna be adding some of this, and it's definitely a route that I didn't realize we I mean, I guess I imagined we would. It was very strange that, like I said, when I compiled this list, the sites I checked, and I probably checked about 5 to 6 sites, gave me men golfers, and that's fine. I mean, it's okay. Like, it's just great to see that this is where the LPGA started. This is how important it became. This is who ran it and made sure, because she loved the game of golf, that she would have an organization that was the rules, that was the, you know, that gave the tournaments going.
It's just interesting that someone who has as many accolades and accomplishments as she does is still hardly known.
Yeah, I mean, right, like,
she
right.
She developed a sport, she was a veteran, she survived cancer, she has a whole bunch of awards, she taught golf all over the world.
Wow.
You know, she had a 40-year professional golf career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just an amazing human being, an amazing golfer.
Yeah.
And definitely a golf legend.
Wow. Yeah. So that was Patty Berg, and we thank you for listening. I'm gonna start doing a little bit more on the Instagram. It's Golf Legends Pod, I believe. I'll make sure that's correct. And then we would love an email. We'd love a suggestion. Hey, I never heard of her too. I mean, anything, comment, question. We'd love to read something else on this wonderful podcast air, besides just Chad and I rambling it on. But we thank you for listening.
Subscribe if you haven't done so. We're putting out one episode a week. We try and aim for if this is your first episode, you know, we try and aim for the 30 to 40 minute range. Is something you can listen to pretty quickly.
Mostly history based. We try and find pretty accurate sources. We thank you again for listening. Yeah. That was awesome. That was a great, great little episode. So,
yes, we're signing off till next time. Absolutely. We'll see you then.
See you later.
If you enjoyed our show, please rate us on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Legend Pod. If you have ideas on who we should cover or just want to drop us a line, please do at golflegendspod@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back on the links in a week.